Some of the things that God's people get to enjoy and to experience as the redeemed people of God is difficult to explain to others. Some of the spiritual blessings that we enjoy are just difficult to articulate, to explain to those that are unredeemed and unsaved. It is a joy to be saved. It's a joy to be a child of God. There are blessings that we get to enjoy, and many of those are described in a variety of different ways in the Scriptures, not only in knowledge and illumination and revelation, but there are other expressions of the things that we enjoy as the redeemed. It's explained to us in illustrations. Sometimes there are phrases that describe this, and I want to use one of those phrases that describes some of the perks, some of the privileges, and some of the blessings that we enjoy from the book of Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to be mainly concerned with the last two verses of this chapter. This particular chapter deals with the frustration of the people of Israel. God wasn't hearing and answering their prayers. They were going through ritual and the formalities of religion, and yet there was a spiritual emptiness. They were frustrated. This effort that they were putting forth seemed to be in vain. God wasn't hearing them. God wasn't responding to them. And they knew that. God was not speaking to them, and so they expressed their frustration, and Isaiah addressed their dilemma and their problem in this particular chapter. He begins this chapter by pointing out their sins, and he was to lift up his voice like a trumpet and expose their transgressions, expose where they're coming up short, where they're failing to please God. And he begins by describing their superficial desire to please God. And then he goes into some of the exercises of religion, the rituals that they were involved in, particularly fasting. And they were complaining about, you know, having to go through this process of self-denial. And God simply responds through the prophet Isaiah and says, "Well, the problem is, you're simply not doing it right." Okay? Religion works. True religion works. The religion from God, the religion from on high, is a religion that is not vain and empty, but is full of fruitfulness and blessing. God will show up and bless your life if you know Him the way He's prescribed in His holy word. Other things were going on concerning their Sabbaths, and they were just halfway. And listen, you can't serve God halfway. You've got to give your all. You've got to submit your all. You've got to do it His way and follow His commandments. And as he begins to express some problems concerning their exercise of the Sabbath, they were wanting to say their religion. Of course, Sabbath, the Sabbath of the Jews was what distinguished them as the people of God. It separated them from all the other nations, because none of the other nations observed a day of rest. Only those that trusted and believed in the commandments of Jehovah God. And so he begins by talking about their Sabbaths in verse 13. And we'll start there in verse 13. He told them, notice back in verse 12, just briefly, a great encouragement. And this is something we need today, particularly in our churches and in the cause and in the kingdom. We need a generation to rise up that will repair the breach and restore the path to dwell in. Okay? That's the last little phrase in verse 12. That they would come to a place as a generation, that God would raise up a generation to restore things to back where they used to be, to restore the breach. In other words, be a generation that pleased God and served God. And the generation that serves God and pleases God will be blessed of God. Okay, that's the point he's trying to make in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. And he says, if you will, If thou wilt turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on mine holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, this is verse 13, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, and not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Now he was calling them to return to the Sabbath. He was calling them to not do things that they wanted to do, but to do things God's way. What God has prescribed, what God has commanded. We have a tendency to want to do things our way. But our ways typically are the wrong ways. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is what? Death and destruction. We have to do things the way our Creator has described them and prescribed them to us. We have commandments. He is the sovereign God that has authority over our lives. He knows what's best for us. And so He calls on them to just simply do what He has commanded and do it the way He has commanded it. I mean, that's the way the doctrines are. That's the way the gospel is. There's a lot of different gospels out there, but there's only one true way of salvation. Jesus is that way. And a lot of people have developed their own way of pleasing themselves. And He says, remove thyself from the ways of men and do it God's way. Do it God's way. And so He calls on them to do that and not to do it according to their own pleasure and their own speaking, but to do it God's way. The way that honors Him, an honorable way, a way that gives Him glory and gives Him praise. And so He says, if you'll do that, there's something that God will bless you with. Notice verse 14. Now, last year when I came across this phrase, it jumped off the page when I was studying it. And I never had a chance to really unpack it. I got up about 4:30 one morning last week, and this thing was on me. And so I dove into it, and I was trying to figure out the expression and what it actually means. But He says in verse 14, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth." Okay? Delight thyself in the Lord, and you'll be able to ride on the high places of the earth. Riding on the high places of the earth. Let me finish the chapter. And I'm going to speak on riding on the high places of the earth. "And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." The mouth of the Lord had spoken it. What does this expression mean, riding on the high places of the earth? I consulted a few commentaries while I was trying to figure this out. I mean, obviously it means something very special. It's talking about a privilege, a great and wonderful privilege that the redeemed get to enjoy, especially those of them that delight themselves in the ways of the Lord. Those that are serving the Lord, that are obeying His commandments, those are the ones that get to ride on the high places of the earth. To mount up and be carried on the high places of the earth. I mean, obviously, it's having reference to spiritual blessings. It's having reference to sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Like Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Those heavenly places that we get to go to while we're in this life, while we're still on the earth, they are found in Christ Jesus. Only in Christ Jesus can you experience these heavenly spiritual blessings. Obviously, it's having reference to some special blessing that we get to enjoy from God as the redeemed people of God. But anyway, I consulted one of the commentaries, and some of you are familiar with Albert Barnes, and he gave several other commentaries, comments on it. And then he made this statement. He said, "I have not found or read anything that has satisfied me as to what this means, riding on the high places of the earth." Well, I appreciate his honesty. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm kind of in the same same boat. I'm kind of at the same place. It's obvious to me that as we go through some of the various cross references, and there's some cross references that I want us to consider. I've taught people here that the Scripture interprets Scripture. The best way to uncover or discover what an interpretation is to go to other passages of Scripture that help you explain and understand what something like this might possibly mean. And we're going to look at a few cross references. We're going to look in Deuteronomy 32 and 13 in just a few minutes, and we're going to start there. I think I've met some people that live their Christian life riding on the high places of the earth. Now we can't always be on the high place. Sometimes we go into the valley. But there are occasions in our lives where we are lifted up above the troubles of this life. There are times in our lives where God lifts us up above the chaos and the commotions of the carnality that we live in, and we get some special spiritual blessings that we know come from God. A joy, a happiness. I mean, Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, that we would have blessings and joy and happiness. And he used the beatitude, the blessed bees. And there are those that experience many wonderful blessings when they come God's way. When they surrender God's way. When they serve the Lord God's way. When churches conform to the teachings of Jesus Christ as the head and founder. When they conform to Scripture, the New Testament, and they try to do what sacred writing has revealed to us. When they don't try to do it their way, but they do it God's way, they get to ride on the high places of the earth. Now, there's a joy, obviously, that it's having reference to. And I have met people that had wonderful, great joy in their Christian walk. There are some that don't get to experience this, obviously. I mean, I've met others that profess to be Christians, and you would wonder if they knew anything about the joy of the Lord. And then there's others that seem to just joyfully serve the Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, God just serving God and working for God just gives them a joy unspeakable. A joy unspeakable, something that's full of glory. I mean, what a blessing it is to experience this joy that Jesus gives. I think about those that go through great calamity and great trouble, and yet they just rose up above it. Pretty amazing when you read about Peter, for instance, you know, when he was in jail, James the Apostle had been martyred by Herod, and yet he was there in that cell, and he was fast asleep when the angel came and woke him up and released him, wasn't he? One worried about a thing. Or Paul and Silas when they were in the Philippian jail. Remember, they were in at the midnight hour. What were they doing? Were they moaning, complaining? Were they crying? No, they were praising God and praying. And God shook that place and released them. I thought about Stephen. I mean, you talk about somebody that was walking on the high places of the earth, huh? While he was being stoned, okay, to death. What did he see? He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. Amen? Yeah, I mean, he was way above his dilemma, his problem, his death. I mean, he was walking on the high places of the earth. We're talking about a spiritual plane. A spiritual sphere that people arrive at who know the Lord Jesus Christ and get to enjoy riding on the high places of the earth. You know, Paul, I think, experienced that when he was incarcerated at Rome for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wrote to a church, the Philippian church, remember? Here he is in jail. He's chained to the praetorian guard. He was chained to the guard or to the prisoner guards. And the Bible says that he wrote to this church and he was full of joy and full of happiness and said, "Rejoice in the Lord." I say rejoice. Amen. And repeatedly he said that, just keep rejoicing in the Lord. No matter what, just keep rejoicing in the Lord. And obviously this is that kind of spiritual plane that the privileged redeemed get to enjoy. Now, this obviously to me has reference to a supernatural experience that we get to enjoy because of Jesus Christ. A supernatural experience we get to enjoy because of the presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Okay? Now, let me say this to those of you that may not have experienced the saving work of God in your life. You don't know anything about salvation. You don't know anything about all this that I'm having reference to. You probably have met somebody who has it. And you probably couldn't really put your finger on what was different about this person. You knew it was something. There was something there. Now, I believe the world can sense the grace of God on God's people. All right? I believe that as we look at like Deuteronomy chapter 32... there, the song of Moses. Moses was giving his last discourse to the people of Israel, and he begins to talk about the children of God, okay, the children of Israel. And he talks about them as they go through the land of Canaan. They would ride on the high places of the earth. Look in Deuteronomy 32 and 13 of Deuteronomy. He says, he hath made him to ride on the high places of the earth, having reference to the children of God, and how that they would have a privilege of eating the increase of the field. Now, the people of God had God's favor, had God's grace. And those of us that are the children of God, we can ride on the high places of the earth. Now, this is where it all begins. Okay, first of all, if you ever reach this spiritual sphere, you must first be saved. Okay? You got to become a child of God. You got to repent of your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ. We are made the children of God by faith. By faith, we trust in what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. And in putting our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, He relieves us of the sins that we have committed. He blots them out. He lifts our burden of condemnation. He puts it on Jesus Christ, and we are set free. We are set free from the condemnation of sin, from the judgment of sin. We're set free. And we're moved from being a child of the devil, and we are made the children of God. Okay? And as we journey through this life, there's a difference in our lives. A profound difference that's transpired in our lives. We have God as our Heavenly Father. And we are His children. You might notice, I'm not going to read all the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. There's a few other references that we may ought to go through. But as we look at this perk, as we look at this glorious privilege that we get to enjoy, we are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are His treasured people. We are a peculiar people. We are His children. We are the sons and daughters of God. We are the children of the living God. And by being... oh, this is good. Okay. And being His children. Okay. This privilege is a privilege that is brought to the children of God. We get to enjoy this blessing of walking and riding on the high places of the earth. Isn't that good? Yeah, it is. So we are the people of God, and we have this glorious privilege. Listen, today, if you're not a child of God, I believe you can know you're a child of God. Yeah. What did John say? Beloved, now are we the children of God? Isn't it sad that there are a lot of people in the world, they're simply hoping to be a child of God. They're waiting to see. They're waiting at judgment to find out if they're a child of God. They are depending upon their own works rather than the merits of the cross. They're trying to get to heaven by human achievement rather than by divine accomplishment. They're trusting in some system, some ritualistic system, where God wants fellowship and relationship with you as a father has with a son and daughter. And we can experience that today. We experience that. We are the children of God. And so Moses said to the children of Israel, because you're the children of God. Earlier in a few verses prior, he talked about how that God would nurture them like an eagle would nurture her young. He would take care of them and they would have privileges and blessings given to them. It's a blessing to be a child of God. Isn't it? Yeah, it's a blessing. The world needs to experience this blessing. And because we are His children, and because we are the sons and daughters of God, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. We have this glorious privilege of coming to Him in prayer and saying, Our Father. Everybody say that with me, Our Father. Wow. But I'm proud of my heritage. But that doesn't even hold a light. It doesn't compare to the spiritual heritage. And you know, we get to ride the privileges and the blessings that we enjoy from being the children of God as we get to, whatever that phrase means, God's children get to ride on the high places of the earth. We have a heritage, a rich heritage, don't we? We are heirs to God. We are heirs to God. And He says that all things are ours. This earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and He has given us all things. That's what the Bible says. Our Heavenly Father has given us all things. I mean, He owns the cattle on a thousand hill, amen? Yeah. And we're not going to be warned of anything. Jesus said that He watches over the sparrows and, you know, He takes care of the lilies. Why, He's going to take care of His children. I assure you, he that spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us, how shall he not freely give us all things? Yeah, he takes care of his people. He takes care of his children. And just the care alone, we could maybe call it riding on the high places of the earth. How he provides for us, how he protects us, how he gives us. We recognize that everything comes from God. We recognize that even our daily bread comes from God. I mean, look at all the things that He's given us. Where did you get your stuff? The blessings you enjoy in life, where did they come from? Where did they come from? We know where they came from. They came from our Father. Yeah, what a blessing. To have such a good, good father. Well, being part of the family of God, know all you as brothers and sisters, and have God as our Heavenly Father, to be in the fold, I'm so glad. Remember that song we used to sing? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. So Moses, in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, was singing this song in celebration of the privileges and the perks of being the people of God. And boy, we are privileged and we are blessed. Well, let's look at another verse or two. Let's look at Psalms 18 and 33. What we're doing is just simply going into a few of these verses where this same phrase is used and seeing what context is there. Who it is that gets this blessing, some of what it might mean and symbolize. riding on the high places of the earth. We find in the 18th Psalm. 18th Psalm, let's see, let's go there. 18th Psalm, verse 33, where he was talking about... Now, this is really cool. I'm not going to get into this, but... I mean, this guy is... He's describing himself as Superman. Wonder Woman, okay? He's like leaping over walls, you know? He's running into the troops, okay? The enemy. He's running into the enemy. He's just running. You've seen them, you know, out there on the battlefield back years ago, and they would just run and clash into one another. I mean, this guy is... He's got God on his side, and he's not afraid of anything. And listen, folks, when God is for us, nobody can be against us. There is no weapon that can be formed against us that shall prosper. So this guy is like, I mean, he's saved, and he's talking about, you know, the blessings, and he's swift as a deer. Let's notice, he says, he maketh me, verse 33, and let's just notice also, because Vacation Bible School is about having the armor of God. He describes a few verses down of having a shield of salvation. Okay, he's just running at the enemy full throttle. I mean, he's just going at them. And he grabs hold of their bows of bronze and he just breaks it in two. I mean, this guy's got strength. He's got agility. He's got tenacity. He's got such power that he's just running straight at the enemy with full force. Now, and he talks about having hinds feet. He's talking about having deer's feet or goat's feet, where he's got a special perspective, where he's up in the mountains. You've seen them, the goats and the deer, you know, they get way up high, you know, and they've got a special privileged perspective. Okay, they've got a view up there. The enemy can't get to them. They're too high up. The bear can't climb those rocks. I mean, they're way up there. And he says that, you know, the Lord has given me hinds feet. That's just feet that grip, okay? Any kind of animal have feet that grip where they can go up into the high places. And so he says, I've got these deer feet, and I've got swiftness, and I've got strength, and my feet stick. And he says, he sets me on the high places. Wow. That's good. You know what this is teaching us? This is teaching us that in the spiritual battles of our life, God will give His people victory. Victory. Okay. Man, I'm clinging to the promises of God, aren't you? And it puts me up on the high places. You know, in the book of John, 1 John, it talks about us having victory over the world. You know, what gives us victory over the world is our faith. You know, the strength of our faith. The enemy is coming at us. It's coming at the church. It's coming at our doctrines. It's coming at our morality. It's coming at what we believe. And it's attacking the homes and our children. And we need to take an offensive approach to some of this stuff and run right smack dab at them with the shield of salvation and the power of God. That's what it's talking about. Having the anointing of God's power. You know, every one of the mighty men of David, they all had feet like deer's feet. They were described as having this swiftness and strength where they could, you know, when somebody was swinging the sword, they could duck. I know some Christians that didn't duck. It didn't look pretty. Oh, come on. You know some of those folks. You know, families that didn't duck. They didn't move out of the way. You know, there are times where you have to be visual and you have to be able to shift your weight, be a little agile and efficient in your maneuvers. And we need to be able to maneuver in a way as a church and as a people that we don't get harmed. Safety and security is very important. The protection that God gives us. We need to utilize our gifts and utilize His Word. Amen? Where it can keep us from harm. To where we have the confidence. That's what I want. The courage. Okay? The courage and the confidence to know that this shield of salvation is going to hold up and we can run at
the enemy, run right into the troops, man, of the enemy, knowing that our God is going to protect us. That's that power and that victory is obviously being talked about here as being on the high places of the earth. All right. Let's look at another place hurriedly. Habakkuk. I preached from that one time. You know, Habakkuk was expecting exactly what Isaiah had been prophesying of. The Chaldeans were coming. The third chapter of Habakkuk. He was talking about the enemy was coming. And everything in his life. I mean, the earth for him was going to be unhinged. Okay, his city was going to be destroyed. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The temple was going to be burned to ashes. Nothing was going to be left there. All of his people were going to be taken into Babylonian captivity, which was 10 times worse than Egyptian bondage. And this was coming. He saw it on the horizon. It says, physically, this was so disturbing to him. He begins to talk about his belly being troubled in verse 16. He talks about his lip quivering, his voice. He was shaking in his boots. Okay. There are times in our lives where we go through things as a Christian that's very troubling, very trying. Oh yeah, there's times where we've got the courage like David did in the 18th Psalm, and there's other times where we are shaking in our boots. Oh, come on. Come on. How are we going to do this? How are we going to survive this? Sometimes we don't. But he said this. All right, we've noticed that God provides power. He provides blessings to his people. Here he's going to provide us something very special. He said, though the fig tree, verse 17, though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fall or fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stables. I mean, he's about to see devastation. He's going to see women and children slaughtered. He's going to see his loved ones and everything that he had and everything that he loved completely destroyed. It's coming. Judgment was coming. And he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Look at verse 18. I mean, though I'm going to go through all of this chaos and this upheaval. And he was questioning in the earlier chapters about the Chaldean chaos. Why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting this barbaric people come in and devastate Israel? I mean, he had frustration. He had questions. He didn't understand why all this was going on. He had great chaos in his life. He knew it was coming. But he said, when it comes, I'm going to praise the Lord. Can we praise the Lord in tribulation? Huh? Can God's people... praise Him in tribulation? I mean, look at James chapter 1. Look at Peter chapter 2. Look at Romans chapter 5. And over again, it talks about when the fiery trials come, we are to praise the Lord. And if God is with us and walking with us, we can praise the Lord. Being able to ride above your problems, okay? Now, think about this. He was looking at his problem. That's what he was thinking about. For 2 earlier chapters, why God is letting this happen? You ever asked that question? Huh? Why am I going through this? Why this problem and that problem? He had confusion, you know. But he stopped looking at his problem, okay, and he started looking to God. You know, if we just set our affections on things above, something happens. When you center your mind and your heart on God in your problems, you know, you get to thinking about God, and God's a lot bigger than your problems.
And he just started praising the Lord. Oh, I'm just going to praise the God of my salvation. Man, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, the God of my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon the high places. Wow. All right, here's some encouragement for you. If you're saved, you're a child of God. That when you go through problems, God is going to be there with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will help you. When you need more grace, there's more grace available. He giveth more grace. And when you go through that and you're praying, you might hear Jesus speak to you like he spoke to Paul. And he'll say, my grace is what? Sufficient. He'll take care of you. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you the grace that you need. I want to give you one more cross reference. Another place this is found before we go home. And I think this is a really important one here. Look in Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 13. Well, let me just give you a little context to chapter 4. He was passing judgment on Bashan, which was a territory of Manasseh, tribe of Manasseh. Judgment was coming upon the world. Judgment was coming upon this people in this particular area. Just like it came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Look in verse 11. God says, just like fire and brimstone rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, just like judgment came upon that city, judgment is coming upon you. And listen, judgment is coming upon the world. God's going to destroy this world with fire and brimstone. Peter talked about that. Where the earth becomes unhinged and he rains fire from heaven and the elements of this world, they're going to burn up with fervent heat. Amen? God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Jesus talked about the destruction of the world. Anyway, God begins to describe himself as being in the high places of the earth. Okay? Let's read that verse, verse 13. And lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thoughts. Now God created this world. He knows what you're thinking. Okay? He knows your heart. He knows whether you're saved, whether you're lost, whether you believe his word or deny his word. He knows what you're thinking. This is our God. He knows your thoughts. That's what it says. Only God knows what's going on in your heart. He's the only one that knows what's going on there, but he knows. Amen? He knows. Knows your thoughts. Knows your heart. That maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Right? So God's love. You want to find God's love? You got to find it in the high places. If you want his mercy and his forgiveness, you got to go where God is. You got to meet God. Look at the previous verse, verse 12. Judgment is coming, right? Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming upon this world, just like it came upon Bashan, just like it came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, just like it came upon Babylon and Rome and Egypt. Judgment is coming, just like it came upon Israel and Judea. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. God's coming in judgment. I want you to notice something in this chapter. He moves from the plural to the singular. I want you to notice that. Go from ye's and you's to these and thou's. Okay? All right? Means he moves from the plural. God's going to bring judgment upon the people of that community. But then he calls upon thee or you in the singular to prepare to meet your God. Amen? You see that in verse 12? What should you do? Well, you won't just escape the damnation that's coming upon the world. The world's going to be destroyed. The only way to escape is to find God. The only way to escape the judgment that's coming upon the world. This world is cursed. What about death? They haven't got a song. What about death? Are you going to escape death? The only way to escape death is in Jesus Christ. You know, Christians believe and know in their heart. Okay? That our souls, when they die, they're going to heaven. Isn't that powerful? We've met God. We've met Him in forgiveness. We met Him in mercy. We met Him in love. He has removed the condemnation. Paul said, those that are in Christ Jesus, there's now no condemnation. There's right now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We've been forgiven, but you know we had to go where God is, and we found Him, didn't we? I know the night I got saved at the altar where I got saved, man, that's a special place to me. I tell you, heaven came down, amen? And I went up to God. My prayers reached the throne of God, and God showed up, and He forgave me, and He saved me. You know, salvation is a perception that you once were lost, and now you found. You once were blind, and now you see. And I tell you this, that when you get saved, it will change your life. You'll become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not just salvation, but transformation. I mean, you're changed. You're made a new person. You're a child of God. And as you serve God, there are times you need some special strength. And God raises you up and He carries you to a high place and gives you that strength. There are times when you're discouraged and you're down. And God raises you up and encourages you. Amen. There are times that you need comfort. Well, God is a God of all comfort. Amen. There are times when you're shaken. Ah, you're shaken, but you're not shattered. You're bent, but you're not broken. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah, we're still here. God's people are still here. In spite of all the persecution and all the troubles that have come our way from the devil in the world, we're still here. Because the church of the true and living God rides on the high places of the earth.